There's no place to escape to.
This is the last
podcast on the left.
From your glade.
That's when the cannibalism started.
Mark, it just makes me so happy when you put headphones and you plug them in for me. You know, it's just so nice that you can go and plug in the headphones and then I hear my voice. You know, because it's nice to hear when I'm yelling. And it's also nice if I say something funny and I can laugh at my own self.
Do we have to edit that out, or can that be the beginning of the show?
Thank you so much for giving me headphones, Marcus.
It can be the... I think it can
That's
be...
That's okay, because Marcus usually has to edit out some of your more controversially mentally impaired characters.
What's all controversial about being simple and sweet? Because that's all I am. All I need to make me smile is just have some headphones on my head.
Well, you look great with those headphones, keeping your ears warm.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, you bet. Oh, my shoes fell off. My feet are too tiny, Paul.
You have adorable little feet.
I just, everybody likes what I do. I just wear headphones and smile.
Right, yeah, no job. No job?
They won't let me have a job because I got IQ of 4.
That's a heck of a number. Hell of a number, everyone. Welcome to the show. I'm Ben Kissel, joined by Marcus Parks, and as always with us...
Henry Zebrowski.
Oh, Henry Zebrowski. Okay, yeah. Very good.
Absolutely, yeah. No, it was just nice to feel simple and good.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's why I adopt those characters. All the characters I do is in order to express, you know, the process of building a character. Let me begin. Ben, Marcus, all right?
Yes, please.
No, listen, character.
I want to hear about it,
Absolutely. It's just about me being able to do things that are a part of my general personality that I normally can't express, like being simple and sweet.
Sure.
I have to do it through a mouth-breathing retarded man.
Because
I know to appear simple and sweet in real life makes you a fucking mark. Makes you vulnerable.
Well, I don't know. Well, that's good. I'm happy that you're practicing your response for when CNN comes and we have to have a discussion over your questionable characters. Mm. And then you're going to say the R word that ends in E-tarded. And then we're going to be in a whole shitload of trouble.
Well, at least I'm not saying, he's got fucking mush for brains. I could say that. Oh, you mean one of these doy-doys? Oh, when I play a doy-doy, what I like to do then is I just curl up my lip and pretend like I got a corn cob up my asshole.
That's great. Okay, we got to go to commercial break. Right. So how'd it go, guys? What'd you think? Great job, Henry.
Really great job. We're all excited for season 2 of Your Pretty Face is Going to Hell. Thank you so much for having us.
Wow. So we're just going to we'll show ourselves out. Are these bagels free? All right. Well, let's do Henry Lee Lucas.
So today's big hitter, oh my friggin' God, I love Henry Lee Lucas. We've been wanting to get to this guy for a long time. This guy is really a collection of every single fucked up backwoods stereotype that has ever existed.
So he's super smart and he's going to Harvard?
On opposite day.
Oh!
He has one eye.
Okay.
He's got two teeth, if I'm generous.
That's not bad.
The rest are sort of gnarled like little shards in the back of his mouth. Serial rapist. Can only get hard if a woman is dead.
Okay.
Was with a 7-foot-tall gay man and his 13-year-old wife for a section of his career where they all fucked each other. And he was known as the one-eyed drifter killer. Which is just like straight up, it's not going to help your reputation.
No, that seems like a movie that
Sarah Michelle Gellar
should star in a movie featuring a one-eyed drifter man.
You know what we could have done? You know who should then, if we're having Sarah Michelle Gellar play the 13-year-old, you know who should play Henry Lee Lucas?
Who?
Freddie Prinze Jr.
Oh my God! I love Freddie Prinze Jr. There was a great time in the early to late 90s where Freddie Prinze was the dreamboat of the century. Love that young man.
Well, Henry Lee Lucas operated in the 60s and 70s all across the United States. Now, Henry Lee Lucas is very controversial in the serial killer world in that he has confessed to literally hundreds, and in his estimation, thousands of crimes.
He became also known as the confession killer. He is a possible total hoaxer, possibly. Right. But also, as you look at the evidence as it goes, because my theory is that he did kill a bunch of people.
I think he had to kill some, right?
Yeah. Yes, he did kill a bunch of people, but during that time period, what he then started realizing is he says in a lot of his testimonials after the fact, he's like, well, you know, when the things once you start confessing to one sort of murder, you become like a rock star.
Mm, yeah.
Yeah, because that was their saying, is that he would basically confess in order to get cartons of cigarettes. Yeah.
Right, I mean, it's a perverted world where success is measured by body and not the amount, by body count, not the amount of money count that you have in your bank or anything like that. Very similar to Joey Chestnut, who just let the country down by losing the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Competition. If you tell someone that you ate 60 hot dogs in any other place on the planet, they look down on you, except for on July 4th. In Coney Island, you're a hero.
You know who still looks down on you on July 4th?
Who?
Your personal doctor.
Oh, yes. Definitely not a doctor in the house.
But yeah. Henry Lee Lucas, it's a very interesting, because as you look at he has everything, every single thing that any one of our big hitters also had. He's a head injury as a kid. Mm. Incredibly abused.
Yes.
He was a basically child molester. He definitely was a child molester.
A molester?
A molester.
Okay.
But the way he did it didn't have that sort of flair like we normally say molest. The way I would say the way he molested people was like a molest. Where he's just real, like, he's just the dirtiest, gnarliest old fuck who ever existed. He was scary as shit. He had one eye, he had no teeth, and he's just like exactly what you imagine when you think of a drifter killer.
He is Henry Lee Lucas. He is the greatest drifter that America has ever produced. This is a man that was
produced. Worst. You know who I'd say is maybe the greatest?
Well,
Bob Dylan.
Okay, sure. Dylan is the number one on the good side. Yeah,
great as in, you know, you could still call Attila the Hun a great conqueror.
Right.
Still an evil motherfucker.
Same way I say Dr. Kevorkian was a hell of a nurse. Hell of a doctor.
He was more of a great, you could call him like a sleeping fairy.
Yeah, kind of fun.
Oh, so this is a quote I like that Henry Lou Lucas said once that it sums up his entire philosophy of life.
I hated all my life. Mm. I hated everybody. When I first grew up and I can remember, I was treated like what I call the dog of the family. I was beaten. I was made to do things that no human being would want to do.
Like listen to ABBA all the time.
Yeah, he sounds like a typical millennial. You know, I'm forced to do things I don't want to do. Yeah. I just want to be a movie star. Why won't they let me be one?
I have to be a paralegal at this office. Ugh. What I really want to do is make sandcastles for a living.
It's unbelievable. That's just not a lucrative market yet.
Well, this guy, as you know, some of this stuff is taken from my favorite serial killer book by Peter Vronsky, Serial Killers, The Method and Madness of Monsters. He makes a very good point when he says that Henry Lee Lucas's childhood, it's a manual on how to make a serial killer.
Yeah, it's just that, so nice, a good recipe. Because he had it all. He was dressed, you know, like he was a molested. He was beaten.
Yeah.
He lived in a chicken coop.
If he was a cartoon, he'd have the stink lines coming from his head.
Literally. It's just all the backwoods things.
Right.
It's like the Texas Chainsaw Massacre family, but real.
Right, right, right.
With less class. Because at least they respected Grandpa.
They did respect Grandpa, and you know what the Texas Chainsaw family did together? They ate dinner.
You know.
And wasn't that a good time for America?
That's another thing we lost in 2015, the communal dinner. You know what else we lost on stuff? Secrets involving giant rings about child molestation, child prostitution. Mm-hmm. All of this stuff used to be a great secret, man.
Right.
Nobody can keep a secret anymore.
Well, now that that's out, it's fun. You can have a family dinner and discuss pedophile rings.
So, this guy, Henry Lee Lucas, born in 1936 in Blacksburg, Virginia, which just sounds like a terrible place. Coincidentally, also the home of Virginia Tech, which is, of course, the site of the largest mass shooting in American history.
Which was that?
Virginia Tech.
I'm sorry. I just forget sometimes.
Every town in Virginia, I just can see the white mob chasing a poor black dude. When you hear the name, you're just like, oh, yeah, that's where death happens.
Yeah, Blacksburg, Virginia.
Sad.
His mother, Viola Dyson, while Lucas had...
Was it Dyson? Or was it Dyson, like the chicken?
Yeah.
I think it's Dyson, because she was half Choctaw.
Oh.
And I believe that is a Native American word.
What does that mean? Big gaper?
Yeah, I think it means big gaper in the Native American community. Yeah.
She was a 50-cent prostitute who was in her early 50s by the time she had Henry.
I see that. At least she's 50 cents. That shows respect for yourself.
It does.
If you're a nickel prostitute, it's just like, it's like anytime somebody, if you just stand near a wishing well, you could accidentally start sucking some guy's dick every 3 minutes or so.
And it's much, even the worst is the Bazooka Joe prostitute. Just give her gum and she'll blow you.
Yeah, she's like, if only I had teeth to get on that bazooka gum. But one thing I can do is I can fit your whole balls underneath my tongue.
Wow. Wow.
This is my mom.
Isn't that nice?
Hey, this is my mom. I just thought you guys should meet. I know we've just started dating Miranda. I'm a new paralegal here in the city. This is my mom.
Well, I think that's... You're just...
I'll suck them until right before they go, because I hate to see the look of satisfaction in a man's eyes.
Well, you know, a lot of times guys date a woman that reminds them of their mother, but I'm not going to do that to your balls. I'm never going to suck your balls down my throat.
I thought you were going to... I mean, I guess they say you're not supposed to be able to change someone. You don't get into a relationship just to change someone, but I thought maybe you'd be pulling all your own teeth so you could be a toothless 50-cent whore.
Oh, man. Whap, 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 whap.
Well, she was described by one of her granddaughters as, quote, a dirty old woman who chewed snuff and the kind of person you would not want to be around.
Jackie Zabrowski.
Yeah, your sister Zabrowski.
Dirty old woman.
I love that.
Now, Henry's going to read something here that comes from this book that I've been using as research. It's called Hand of Death, the Henry Lee Lucas Story.
Do you want to explain the reference real quick to Hand of Death?
Yes, the Hand of Death. We're going to be getting into this, and I think one of the three parts is going to be pretty much devoted solely to the Hand of Death.
Cool.
The Hand of Death was a satanic cult operating out of the Everglades, and supposedly Henry Lee Lucas and Otis Toole, his partner in crime.
Otis.
Yeah, Otis. It's Otis.
Yeah, no. Yeah, it's extra retarded.
Isn't that special?
Yeah.
Otis.
Yeah, the second T makes it Otis.
Huh.
Yeah. All right. So they were supposedly recruited by the Hand of Death to kidnap children, murder people, participate in their sacrifices. Pretty much they were the guys that went out and harvested the children.
Like the Finders, the CIA
like
groups.
The Finders.
And this is also, and as everybody knows, the Hand of Death is an Everglades cult that was run by the Iguana Mafia.
Yep, they're one of the more dangerous of all the mafias.
Yeah. And this book was co-written by Henry Lee Lucas with this guy, Max Call. And keep in mind, as Henry reads this, keep in mind that this is written by a man who, by the way, chapter one is called From the Womb of a Whore.
What's that all about?
Which is also the name of, like, a fucking Pantera album, right?
It's a great death metal album.
No, actually, the table of contents reads like a fucking metal album. From the Womb of a Whore. Opening the gates of hell. Evil knowledge, evil power.
Can you feel the evil knowledge, evil power?
I think I got whiplash from rocking so hard.
And remember that this guy in the foreword says that he is writing this as a Christian man to expose the satanic cults that are operating in America. So,
he gave all the money back that he made from the book,
absolutely.
And he just put it right to Christ?
Let's just also say he made approximately $13.
Oh, good. Well, you could buy 26 go-arounds with Henry Lucas's mother.
Yes, remember, this is that he wrote this next paragraph that Henry is going to read in the name of Jesus Christ.
Oh, also good. Remember, again, Henry Lee Lucas cannot really be taken apart from Otis Toole, I'm sorry, that we will be covering later on, his possibly homosexual partner, also part of a love triangle between him and a 13-year-old, and that they were all part of the big... in the end, it's just, I'm glad everyone in the group had a goal, and I'm glad that they were a part of a team.
Yeah, it's nice to team up with people, sure.
So this is from Hand of Death by Max Call. Offering her breast to his tiny mouth, she cooed, "That's it, Henrietta, suck your mama's titties." And as he did the natural thing, she added, "But remember, darling, when mama does something nice for you, you must pay for it with pain." Reaching inside his tattered little blanket, she painfully pinched his little penis.
All right, I do want to say this. It is a child involved. He is an infant, and that is sad. But... kind of hardcore erotica.
That's disgusting. Did you watch Serbian Tale and get hard?
No.
You're like, oh yeah, I want to lay it back too with a baby. Is that the first thought you had?
No. the fact that he's a child is disturbing, and that she is toothless, and she has a bad tobacco habit.
That's
so
the
let's
worst.
Think about that.
Yeah. And by the way, this book is also the same book that described. Go ahead, look at a picture of Otis Toole right now. The writer of this book described Otis Toole as, quote, a good-looking young man.
He is a 7 foot tall, like, I don't know how to put it. Just looks like a fucking sexual deviant. He's got rapist face.
all right, so I looked up a picture of Otis Toole, and he looks like he should be working on cars. He is nothing short of attractive in God's eyes, and that's where of course,
tell you what, though,
Max is coming from.
He's got them Angelina Jolie dick sucking lips.
Oh yeah. Wow.
Well, psychiatrists have done studies. Remember that Henry Lee Lucas was born to a prostitute who just fucking despised him. His mother hated him worse than anything else on earth. Psychiatrists have done studies as to what happens to in the absence of physical touch and affection when someone is developing as an infant. And it really does scramble up your brain, because these kids, they pretty much... they had their sense of self is only of them. There is no concept of the outside world. There is no concept of if I do something, it will hurt you. So Henry Lee Lucas from the beginning was just incubated to be a serial killer.
I mean, he just thought people were really bizarre penis pinchers and had no idea why.
Yeah, and he's starting to get mad when people didn't immediately pinch their penis.
He's like,
penis,
what are you doing?
As soon as they met them.
Oh, he must not like me very much. He didn't pinch my penis once.
But the thing about this case also, like in comparison to other big hitters we do, is that this is just so like... it's almost like, cliche. Mm-hmm. Like, every time you look at this story, where you're just like, you know, he just...
childhood trauma, bad mother, those things.
Yeah, he's just a fucking dirt animal.
Right.
He's just the worst sort of fucking... the worst creature to walk the planet is somebody like him. He's a, you know...
Well, it seems like his mother issues are a little bit more intense than a lot of them have. Ramirez was an uncle situation, and of course his mother wasn't mom of the
year.
But here,
Henry Lee Lucas also had an uncle situation as well.
Mm-hmm. Sure as hell did. But before we get to that, let's go over his father, at least the man who was listed on his birth certificate as his father. Anderson, also known as... No Legs Lucas.
Now, this is my question is, why? Where did the nickname come from?
He had big, long legs.
It's one of those, right?
Yeah, it's like when the people call me tiny.
Yeah, it's funny, right?
Mm-hmm. No, he had no legs.
Oh, he just had no legs?
He just had no legs because he was an alcoholic, and he got wasted, passed out on the train tracks, and was run over by a slow-moving train.
You know, that is a way to wake up, number one.
I love the conductor just be like... Troop, just got to move out of the way. We're a mile away. Just move over whenever you want to.
Meanwhile, the one guy's like, hey, Clem. All right, listen. I know we should stop this train. Of course we should stop this train.
Yeah, you'll move, though.
But did you ever just think, maybe just once, we can just hit one of these drifters and just see what it's like. I don't mean to make something weird about this, but I just think how many times do we get to do something like this?
True. Knife through butter, train wheels through legs. Yeah.
Full steam ahead.
Let's do it. I also love it. Such a clean...
I think I can.
Yeah, Thomas the Tank Engine did it. I've got blood on my hands now. I'm no longer Thomas the Tank Engine. I'm Thomas the murdering Tank Engine.
When I watched what happened to the drifter's legs, I knew then that life is a mirror of pain.
Well, that's why you got to watch the Thomas the Tank Engine Reborn.
Well, Thomas, once you're done with your trauma, maybe we should learn about numbers.
How many legs did you just chop off?
One. Achoo.
That's right.
Yep. About his father, Henry said
he hopped around on his ass all his life. That's just not even, it's not even fucking ironic.
No, it's just amazing. The truth.
He literally, from what I read, he had a cart.
Yeah.
He would sit in a cart and he would literally do that humping motion where he would drag his cart back and forth with a broomstick, where anytime Henry was anywhere near him, he'd hit him with the fucking broomstick.
He's like Lieutenant Dan, but a worse version from Forrest Gump.
Yeah. Yes. There's also one of those stories too where I'm just like, I like to listen to this story, but no legs lucid us. And everyone, you know, like, because you think about, you're just like, man, I wish my dad paid more attention to things that I do, you know, but then I realize it's like, well, I'm just an actor. I've made me an actor, which is great. Mm-hmm. I got a little bit ignored. But Henry Lee Lucas was paid so well attention to by the broomstick of his legless father.
Yeah.
That it's almost too much parenting.
I mean, at the same time, if you're Henry Lee Lucas, you've got two working legs, you've got youth on your side, you can't get away. You can't run away from your father who was bouncing around, bumping around in a cart. I mean, how fast could he have possibly been going? He wasn't entering some sort of derby unless he's going downhill.
Yeah, it's not like Karate Kid.
How does he catch the kid?
Yeah, it's a thing. It's not like Karate Kid had to catch all those chickens, right?
Yeah, sure, but it's simple.
Well, I found a couple of conflicting reports. Is that he does? At sometimes he does say that his dad was the only person who actually treated him kindly. That sometimes he says that his dad treated him like that. His dad was kind of the only person who kind of patted him on the head because he ran an illegal alcohol
distillery.
And he said sometimes when his dad would sell a little bit of alcohol, he'd give a nickel or two to Henry.
Oh, that's nice.
That's like a tenth of a whore's price.
Yeah, that's really great. Thanks for the nickel, Dad. I can almost have sex with Mom if I keep saving these up.
You can have sex with your mom. You just lie to her and say you're not her son. She'll believe
her. Yeah, Lowlegs also supported his family by selling pencils at the local skating rink.
Nothing like walking around and you're like, man, all right. Man, I'm going to write young Susie's number down, but I don't have a... Oh, let me ask that... Yeah, a little half man in a cart over there.
Pencils here. Pencils.
Let's go, Joe.
No, I'm buying a pencil from the legless man.
He also skinned minks.
He just did whatever you could do in a cart.
Yeah.
You know, if it fits in the cart, I'll skin it.
Yeah. He was also a great coaster for beer.
Oh, that's kind of fun.
He was also a hockey puck for the local beginners hockey league.
Yep. Oh, don't hit me so hard now.
Yeah, that's good. I got to tell you, little Harvey, you're getting strong with every slap shot.
Ooh,
next time you accidentally clip me with that stick, I'm going to pinch your little penis.
Life of a puck.
Well, Henry actually worked at his father's distillery from the age of 10, and that's when his problems with alcohol began. So drinking straight moonshine from the age of 10,
right,
most of his life.
And that moonshine, this is Virginia
serious.
Moonshine. Yeah,
yeah,
very intense stuff.
That'll get it's not like that up. City liberal moonshine that I had to drink when I was a boy.
Exactly.
Also known as water, from a very good public water system.
That's nice.
Well, Viola Henry's mother, among if not the cruelest serial killer mother that we've ever covered, she forced both Henry's father and Henry himself to watch her every time she brought home a John.
This is a sort of a cuckold situation, isn't it?
Yeah, except they did not want to do it.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And again, you know, how far can the cart go?
Yeah, that's the thing.
Well, that's what she would do is she would roll him across the room and just kind of leave him over there anytime the John came in.
You know, did he didn't lose his penis to the train, though.
No, he did
so
not.
So there was maybe you get aroused a little bit.
But I would say this, right? Yes, I know all the time. You know, like, sex doesn't always have to be the most romantic thing. Sometimes it's fun for it to be spontaneous, a little dirty, a little naughty. But I don't know if I'm going to be able to really, like, get off having sex with my 50 cent prostitute in front of her legless husband and her 4-year-old son.
Right.
I'm a bit for square.
You know what? I'll give you 75 cents. You lose the half man. Just lose the half man. The kid can stay. I'll give you $1 for the kid to stay.
The half man stays in the picture. I need him to hate it.
Oh, all right.
That's the only thing that keeps me dry.
Well, let's just get it done with then.
Well, the punishment for refusal to watch was just a sound beating with this huge homemade club that she had. And jeez. Viola wouldn't even allow him to cry while she was beating him. He had to just silently take it. She once beat him so badly with a 2x4 that he was unconscious for 3 days before Viola's pimp, Bernie, eventually took him to the hospital.
Because then eventually he's just like, you know, Viola, I don't mean to step in. You know how, like, I have a hands-off relationship with you. I like that you're independent. I like the fact that you work with me for 50% of fuck, you right. know, and I get 49 cents of it, and I give you a penny, and I don't technically know how y'all survive on a penny, but that's fine with me. But your son has become, like, a sort of just fixture. Like, it's become, like, a human coffee table.
Yep.
And I'm just wondering if it's not hurting business. You know?
Yeah. Oh, what's that?
Oh, I'm sorry, you were sucking dick?
Yeah.
All right, I'll just take him to the hospital myself.
Great.
Nope. Doctors say that anything more than a few minutes of unconsciousness can cause permanent brain damage.
So 3 days is bad?
3 days is real bad.
Maybe it comes full circle, though, and he just gets really smart. Is that possible? Is it possible?
Oh, yeah, he becomes like the movie Phenomenon.
Yeah.
And it's just like, but instead of using his psychic power to like help the town, it's just him just lifting 13-year-old girls' skirts.
Yes.
And I've seen it. I've seen the cleft.
Another John Travolta classic phenomenon.
They say after Henry Lee Lucas was caught, they did tests, they did CAT scans, revealed extensive brain damage.
No way!
Specifically, contusions in the frontal and temporal lobe, which usually result in extremely diminished capacity for impulse control. Childhood injuries of this type, John Wayne Gacy, Fred West, Andre Chikatilo, all of these guys had traumatic brain injuries as either a child or a teenager to these specific areas.
He's got what we'd like to call, I'm sorry, Miss Lucas, you're not, oh, what are, oh, you're his mother's pimp and some random woman that's also here. Your son. You're not your son. Your prostitute's son has a thing we'd like to call goon brain now.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Great. I'll bring him back.
You think that'll help bring new business in if I say my prostitute's got a new goon brain son? He's like, you know what? I'm just a doctor of medical science, and I should maybe call somebody, but I won't. But I don't know. I'm also not a marketing person. I don't know if that'll help the business.
You got to protect the frontal lobe of these kids.
Got to, man.
Yeah.
Lucas, he also suffered from grand mal seizures, just like those three killers did, and just like Otis Toole did.
And what's a grand mal seizure?
The one where you shake.
Oh, you just shake it out.
Yeah, the one where you shake. There's paralytic ones where you just sort of freeze, and then the grand mal ones are the ones where you shake a lot.
Kind of get a little Taylor Swift with it there. Kind of fun, kind of excited. Shake it off a little bit.
I like this thing, too, here, where he had, I guess he had unusually high levels of lead and cadmium found in Henry's body, I guess because they live in a chicken coop out by some drainage river.
Yeah, most likely.
And the odor from his body, which is really interesting, it leads to a type of poison that makes a stench come from your body and an almost complete loss of the sense of smell, which is a deadly combo.
So literally the smell of him could murder a person.
If you look at Henry Lucas's face, you can't, I don't think of Brute. You know what I mean?
I don't think
of Old Spice.
Oh, I love some good Brute, though.
Yeah.
That's what men use.
Yep, he actually, all of these details about his childhood, the smell, the odor that he had as a kid, and all throughout his life, but particularly when he was a kid, that was corroborated by a teacher of his. And his teacher, not only his teacher, but a ton of people in town, they corroborate, because Henry Lee Lucas is known as a liar. You know, for the most, like, he definitely lied about a shit ton of things.
Right.
And a lot of these guys will lie about their childhoods to try to garner sympathy, but these details have been corroborated by multiple people.
Because the problem is also, by this point, he was almost, now he's helpless. Now he's got severe brain damage. He's kind of sort of like a gazed sort of look around his face. He's real dazed and weird all the time. And he loves to lie, and he eventually becomes a total complete terror. It's just like, what can you do to save him?
Well, concerning his health further, Henry said that he didn't eat a hot meal that wasn't scavenged from either the streets or garbage cans until he went to prison as a teenager.
Oh.
Her mom would cook meals for her and her pimp, but wouldn't let the kids have any of it. And the malnutrition combined with the cadmium poisoning resulted in even further brain damage.
How did the mother maintain custody of him?
Virginia is a third world country.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, shit just gets let go there.
Yeah.
Nobody cares. Nobody cared.
Yeah.
Like, you just look at these people, you just kind of assume, well, eventually the river will flood and will wash all these people away.
Right.
Well, actually, the one person that did care, his teacher, who was, strangely enough, her name was Annie Hall.
Oh, fun.
Like that fictional girlfriend of the rapist director.
Oh, Woody Allen.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that?
Oh, yeah, the child fucker, his daughter fucker.
But no, it's okay, because they're still together.
Yeah. I couldn't make a relationship last, and I wasn't having sex with my daughter at all.
Isn't that something?
Yep. Bernie wouldn't let the kids have any of the food. One of Henry's earliest memories was also the one that very early on conjoined sex with violence in his mind.
Penis pinch?
Not the penis pinch.
No.
We actually don't know if the penis pinch happened at all.
Don't tell me it didn't. Come on now.
That's from the fictionalization, The Hand of Death, who the author also says in the introduction of the book is, there's no way to tell Henry Lee Lucas's story without fictionalizing some of it.
Which just means making it up, which is, again, what we were saying is the opposite of telling a story. That's telling a story is. Telling a story is telling the stories that's a fact.
Sure.
And you're just writing a story.
I mean, I don't know. I haven't read much of Max's book here, but I would assume every one of his books books does involve a penis pinch to some degree. Penis pinch guy.
I got this in the end of the first 10 pages.
Wow.
Every artist has one story to tell.
That's right.
One of his earliest memory that he says was his mom right after having sex with a John, stark naked, grabbing a shotgun and shooting the John in the leg, just splattering Henry with blood.
And that was a punishment for giving her an orgasm.
Yeah.
Because she was really upset by it because she hated that.
She didn't like to feel pleasure, sounds like. Yeah.
On the further crimes of his mother, on Henry's first day of school, his mother dressed him up like a little girl, gave him curls in his hair, put him in a dress.
Because he had super long hair when he was growing, at this point. She never gave him a haircut. It's the same thing that happened to Charles Manson, right?
Yeah, it's 7 different serial killers report being dressed up as little girls.
So now we're just going to blame the liberal left? We're going to blame progressivism?
Are you kidding me? Yeah, Caitlyn Jenner did this?
Is that right?
Is that what we're talking
Before
about?
Before Caitlyn, there was Henry Lee Lucas, there was Charles Manson, and you're right, 5 others.
But what if it was like that? What if Henry Lucas is this sort of toothless, disgusting, haggard coop child, but then when he puts on a dress, it's like at the end of like Pretty in Pink, where they're like, whoa, and he's like, bounce. Bounce, and he like struts into like
that's beautiful. I feel like, why not? I guarantee you it was the first time that he had clean clothes, and he was actually
that is literally what they said.
They said it was the only time he ever showed up to school clean, which I think is a cruelty in and of itself. The only time that you're clean is when you're being humiliated.
Can we
by your
say
mother.
This though in defense of his mother? Her husband has no legs because he's raging alcoholic who fell asleep on the wrong bed, which train tracks, that's what I call the wrong bed. Mm-hmm. And then Henry was certainly not an outstanding child.
Mm-mm.
So
no, he was described by more than one person as a terrifying child,
a terrifying young boy, an Omen-esque kind of kid. So, you know, she was doing the best. She was the only one making any money for the damn family.
Well, I feel like this is also maybe the type of family where if he had something like an unusual activity, like if he had been given something like curling or something like, you know, highlight or something like that, like watercolor, maybe Henry Lee Lucas would have been really good at something like that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, and not necessarily just, you know, making a corpse you can rape.
Yep.
And possibly Viola's cruelest incident. She learned that Henry had taken a liking to a local mule.
The only one that could understand him.
Well, I mean, you know, mules are kind of cool because you never know when they're going to be championship boxers.
Or something special, right? I like old Thump. I named him Thump.
Thump the mule.
Because it's the sound he makes with his feet when he walks.
Oh.
And also, you know what's funny about mule is that his seeds don't work.
What seeds?
Oh,
what?
And his nut.
His testicle.
His nut seeds.
His nuts don't work?
Yeah.
Have you been trying to work them?
I've been yipping and yanking on that tail he's got underneath his front tail. He thumps his foot, that's right. But then he shoots nothing but little farts out of the tip of it.
Yeah, have you tried pinching it?
Well, you know what? That's a good idea.
Viola, she heard that Henry, he'd taken on this mule as a pet. He'd taken on the only thing that he ever loved. And when Viola found out that he loved this mule, grabbed her shotgun, made Henry watch as she shot it in the fucking face, and then beat him because she was going to have to pay somebody to come and drag the mule's carcass away.
Mm. Oh, not very good. Not a nice mother thing to do.
No, it's not nice. No. You know, especially when he's living a really sort of weird Disney world where he's got a talking mule he listens to.
Exactly. He's got a Shrek situation happening.
Yeah, it could have been fun. He's like, he's just like, Henry Lee Lucas, you're like a parfait. you're like a parfait. And then he's just like, Thump, come closer so I can stick it in the back hole.
That's the only
hole to stick
in.
Henry, we're friends now. Ain't no reason to rip me, Henry.
Well, take it to the next level, I guess.
And as if his life wasn't miserable enough, he lost his left eye in a knife fight with his brother. The eye was just left untreated, and eventually it did heal up just a little bit.
And then it got reinfected when he got beat by a school teacher.
Well, he didn't necessarily get... This is another cruel joke of the universe, is the eye was starting to heal up despite his mother leaving it to fester for days on end.
Sometimes you just gotta let... You just gotta, like, let nature it run its course.
That's organic.
Yeah, yeah. And so it's starting to heal up, and there's a teacher that was trying to hit one child with a ruler, throwing it at her, and the teacher threw the ruler and hit Henry right in his bad eye, and he just fucking lost it.
So Henry Lee Lucas was just sitting there and be like, wow, I don't think he's yelling at me. I don't think I'm the one in trouble.
Yeah.
This is the first time that's ever...
Can you imagine, though, it's like stuck in his ruler, and he's screaming for a second, then afterwards he's like, you know what? It is kind of funny, because it's stuck in there like it's meant to be in there.
It's like, I'm a ruler holder.
Better than being a pencil sharpener, I guess.
So he lost it. They actually did get him a glass eye, which is, that's kind of
They tried to fill it with M&Ms for his mother's John's when he would come over to like a little candy bowl.
Yeah, like a little dish that you see at the doctor's office on occasion. Yeah, but the crows, I would assume, kind of get in there and kind of pluck it out a little bit.
Then the eye, a lot of times, it would just kind of go off to the side. It'd slip out of place.
He'd also weep.
Yeah.
Like, his eye socket would weep, and so he'd always have tears kind of running down his face, which is just, you know, it's just creepy.
Probably like milky, infectious tears, too. Yeah. Now you're healthy, clear.
Yeah.
And, but they could never tell when he was stoned at school.
Yeah, dude.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, rock and roll, man.
All right.
Yeah, all right.
And then because he only had one eye, he didn't have any peripheral vision over on the left side. And because of this, he'd walk sideways so he could see what was on his left.
Seems to, it seems to add to the creepiness factor of a man who literally can only sidle.
You know, easy to get away from him, though.
Come on, you gotta stand next to my hips so I can look and see your eyes, see if you're lying.
You can stand in front, stand behind, never stand to the side.
No.
He'll get you then.
No.
He's quick like a crab.
When Henry was 13, his father couldn't take it anymore, and after a particularly cruel session of watching his wife have sex with another man for money,
he's just bouncing around.
I just want to say trigger warning.
Yeah.
So I don't want anybody to think about their lives in this scenario. I'm sorry.
That's the first time we've ever had one of those on this show, and I think we are 200 episodes too late for that.
Trigger warning for all of you
legless who live in a cart.
Oh, okay. No, that's good, though. That's our crowd. We want to be sensitive.
Yeah. He got drunk, drug himself outside in the snow, and just lay there until he caught pneumonia and died.
How many times I feel like just fucking just going to peace. You know what I mean? Just like, we're just letting my spirit go.
I just feel like it's something that like a Viking would do. You know, I'm going to rest.
Yeah, the legless berry gathering Viking in an even more crude cart.
Yes, that's a hell of a way to go. Though.
See, I feel like they even say back and forth, like a Viking with no legs, which is a guy named like Blarg, who's got like they just tape two axes to his side. They're like, they are going to throw Blarg into the oncoming army like a baseball. And they're like, very good, And he's just like, wait, I'd like to talk about the plan. If you toss me like a baseball, shut up, legless Blarg.
I think he would do great, and he'd be a hero of the Viking community. If he could learn some potions, that would probably help as well.
You know, that would have been a good idea before we lost Blog, is if we attached some sort of rope to him so we could snap him back.
Just pull him back in there, yeah. Get the axes back anyway.
Yeah, and Henry, a year after he was forced to keep watching his mother have sex for a year after he died, because Henry was 14, and for some reason it was fine to have the 7-year-old watch, or a 12-year-old, or an 11-year-old, just so long they weren't in their teens. But suddenly, when he got to his teens, suddenly it was creepy, and Bernie didn't want him around anymore.
I feel like it's weird. Like there should have been a warm-up comic for each time she had sex. He's like, filmed in front of a live studio audience. Well, it's just her son, really, but let's do a type 5. Yeah, Where are you from?
Just Henry, just like, I'm from here. I've lived here in this chicken coop my whole life, and I've been watching my mama fuck for the last 14 years.
Airplanes are the oddest of things, and the food is not great.
Lost my eye due to negligence.
And the difference is when women drive, as opposed to when a male drives, are just spectacular.
You ever eating popcorn out of the hole in his face?
You ever seen a socket weep?
you know, black
you guys,
people.
I'm going to need everybody to put your hands together, give it a lot of energy.
When you see the applause, let's just get a woo.
We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. This episode of Last Podcast on the Left is brought to you by Audible.com. You know what Audible.com is, but what you might not know is they have a ton of books that we use for research here on Last Podcast on the Left. First, we're going to check out The Stranger Beside Me, the shocking true story of serial killer Ted Bundy. It was written by Ann Rule, who knew Bundy personally and worked with him at a suicide hotline. It's one of the best true crime books ever written, and I would highly recommend that one. Go to audible.com/left to get your free audiobook and a free 30-day trial. That is audible.com/left. Now, back to the show.
It's also around this time Henry hit puberty and started dabbling in bestiality with his half-brother, who he also was having sex with at the time.
Now, when you say half-brother, just to clarify, he did have both of his legs. This is genetically
yes,
half.
It wasn't half brother.
Okay.
It was half brother.
Half brother genetically. Now, the thing is that I'd say here they would trap small animals, slit their throats in a strange kind of ritual, and have sex with the corpses.
Yes.
But I'd like to correct you, Marcus. They took this as to say they slit the throats as to create some sort of ritual. Actually, is wrong. They slit the throats truly so that the animal would make the bucking motion that would need to make them come harder.
Oh, okay.
So that's a fun little story.
Well, that's one of those things you learn when you watch your mother have sex for 12 years straight.
That's a little drifter tip.
There it is.
You know what's another drifter tip?
What's that?
Rape.
I just say buy a car and you know, just don't do the, just don't drift.
So,
just
yeah. Gonna. Also, okay, you got to be careful on the 95. The traffic is atrocious when you get up near Vicksburg.
Oh, my God. That's the Virginia traffic report. Look, a lot of drifters outside today. Keep your windows up. Lock those doors. Don't let anybody named Henry into your car.
Let me ask you guys, when you picture him fucking an animal and slitting its throat.
I actually haven't done that yet.
You haven't done that yet, but now you're.
Everybody do it. In the whole audience.
Everyone do it. All in the audience. Just picture, what animal do you picture?
Wow.
Man.
Squirrel.
I went small too. Squirrel. I went with the armadillo.
That's disgusting.
I don't know. Yeah. That's what I thought.
Yeah.
Of.
Everyone on the go to the Facebook page and tell us what animal when you imagined a 14-year-old hillbilly with one eye with an animal on his dick right before he's about to slit its
chicken.
Throat. Chicken.
Sure. Sort of a Pink Flamingos, John Waters type situation with the chicken.
It's just funny if you just put your mind to it, you know. It's like reading. Imagination will take you everywhere.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Anywhere you want.
It is. Yeah, you're right, though. I picture a small animal, but somebody like a Dahmer, I'm thinking a horse.
Well, Henry claims to have taken his first human victim at 14, said they killed and raped a 17-year-old girl at a bus stop in that order, killed, then raped, because Henry Lee Lucas was a product killer. We talk about product killers and process killers. Is that he was a product killer and that he could only have sex with dead women.
He truly just said it. He said that he liked sex with dead women much better because he could use them like toys and then drop them. And he was a total psychopath. He needed total control. And also, I'm going to just straight up, he's just a wee bit retarded, which is a part of it too, of just being like, it's almost like a logic. It's more like if they're dead, they can't say no. But that's like a validation. You see?
Yeah, they make it it's a valid point to them. Them saying they're dead, they can't say no. They're like, they're dead.
They believe at least I'm not raping them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, to some degree, he's not wrong. A corpse is obviously not a living thing. I think if you told me that I was going to be raped and murdered, I would say, can you rape me after?
I would much rather
be dead before the rape happens.
Check that box.
I'm just glad now we have it in verbal recording that we can use that. Your defense of killing and then raping a corpse, I think that's really good. I'm just glad we have it. I'm glad
good
we banked
God
it.
We don't have that. What I am saying is, if you had to choose.
All right.
See, my big thing is I'm just trying to live my life so I never have to choose.
No, I know. But if somebody kills you, you don't have the choice. They're killing you.
No. It's true. It's true. You're right. You're right.
So if somebody came up to you and was just like, we're going to rape and kill you, which order do you want it to be in?
Rape me.
You want to be...
No, well, if you say you're going to kill me...
We've talked about this. Henry is going to hold on screaming to life for as long as he can, no matter how terrible it is.
I'll suck a guy's dick. If it comes down to you kill me, I'll say, no, dude, I'll get you one better. I'll be your funny boyfriend.
Oh, my God.
And then I'll look for a way
great.
To escape, because I'm very sneaky.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll hide in a laundry bin or something.
That'll be perfect.
I'll dress up as a mailman, because Henry Lee Lucas, I could fucking fool him. I could just go buy a mailman costume, come back and be like, I'm not your guy you've been raping. I've been a mailman all along. And he'll be like, well, you mean tell me where's my damn package then? You know, I'm gonna rape and kill you if you don't give me my package.
And you're right back into it.
Yeah.
Well, it's a nightmare.
Well, Henry Lee's first arrest came in 1952 for breaking and entering, just like a lot of these guys, you know, in larceny. A lot of these guys, most of them, their first arrest is either for breaking and entering or for theft.
Well, he's definitely a psychopath. He loves lying. He loves deceiving people.
Yeah.
And so that's a part of it. And then once he got, he has the Ted Bundy, you know, I'm just going to break every rule around me law because it just fucking makes my dick hard.
I mean, to be fair, if he told the truth, he would be in immense amount of trouble and kicked out of every institution he was in. He can't tell, like, well, how was your day? Well, I saw my mother fuck a bunch of dudes. Get out of the supermarket.
Hey, man.
You have to leave.
Listen, this is supposed to be a fun poker night, and I can't handle your stories anymore, Henry.
That's not good.
Well, like Manson, Lucas also said that he was always most comfortable when he was incarcerated because he got hot meals for the first time in his life.
And he had a bed and he had four walls.
And he wasn't a fucking drifter.
Watching his mom get fucked all the time. He was just hanging out with other dudes, having fun, smoking cigarettes. Some guy's playing a harmonica and he's probably half good at it.
And he did dabble in the men, right?
Oh, yeah. He was completely bisexual.
He just, anything with a hole.
He didn't care.
Yeah.
At all.
Did he kill men?
Henry Lee Lucas did not kill men. Otis Toole killed men.
Right, okay.
Yes, Otis Toole would like to get, they got off sexually by robbing and murdering men. Mm-hmm. Henry Lee Lucas simply killed to fuck dead women. That's why he killed him.
Yeah. And he would also casually kill people as well.
He was wearing
just like khakis and like just, it's a button down, but I'm not wearing a tie today. I'm casually killing everyone.
He had a quote that was like that, just being like, killing somebody is easy. Getting a corpse and fucking is easy. I just go out and get one.
He said it's like walking out the front door.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
It's fucking crazy.
Yeah, they were dangerous.
Yeah, they do not seem like the nicest guys around.
You know what's also about Henry Lee Lucas? He's just the type of guy that probably, like, never had a favorite Beatles album.
Never
had, like, enough choice and enough, like, leisure time and nice times in his life.
Yeah, what music was playing in that house?
It's just the sound of balls slapping pussy and, like, cart rattling.
Yeah.
And remember, he was in her, his mother was in her 50s when he was born.
And this is 36,
right? And so that means
he's like 67-year-old toothless 50-cent prostitute beating you with the broom. You know what I mean? He never got to watch Woody Woodpecker.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely not. I don't even think the radio was brand new back then. They probably didn't even have one of those.
No.
Oh, nothing.
No. Absolutely not.
My favorite album is that sound. Have you ever heard that song? It's called River Water Going Down.
Oh, yeah? Well, yeah. How's it go? I have heard that. Yeah. It's sung by God and nature. I love that band.
Also, Choo Choo Train.
It reminds me of my dad.
Yeah, I don't know. He always screams when he hears a song.
So when Henry was 23, he was coming fresh off a 4-year sentence for another breaking and entering charge. He moved in with his sister Opal over in Michigan and met a woman named Stella, who he promptly fell in love with and became engaged to.
And again, I want to say this out there to everybody who's single right now and is afraid that they'll never meet anybody. Henry Lee Lucas had he had one eye that wept constantly. He reeked of cadmium. He got a girlfriend. Know that you're going to be fine. You're going to be fine. You're going to meet somebody.
But let's say it like...
But we are going to say you might have to lower your standards.
That's
a lot. Yeah. We'll say like, oh, he had...
Because Stella was not a prize.
No, she was to him, though. He had one eye, or he had one eye. Isn't that nice?
Can you believe he had one eye?
One eye!
Two, what? I find is frivolously too much.
Who needs them?
Yeah, so Stella wasn't a Sarah Michelle Gellar?
Mm. No, she was not. She was the type of woman who gets engaged to a one-eyed felon who just got out of prison.
So she was more like a Grundy Wilderman.
I loved that. I love her, though.
So Viola, she comes back into the picture. She hears that her son is happy and living in Michigan. She's having none of it.
No, because just the idea of a smile makes her mad.
Yeah.
And she's also, at this point, she's 20, so she's in her 60s by now. Late 60s.
Mm-hmm.
The men aren't coming around to give her 50-cent pieces anymore.
Oh, right. Man, she had all dried up. Business is no good.
That's so weird, but you could totally fend your fucking weird wheat farmer stub into one of her old damp holes.
Why not? It is funny to me that that does imply that these people did have standards.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, like they still did, like they were very low, but then she even fell like below that bar that like a mouse could limbo under.
Could like Bernie Viola never sat around maybe having snifters of brandy, just listened to like, you know, still crazy after all these years. And Bernie just thinking about like, you ever think about eloping Viola? And she's like, I'll fucking suck your balls until you fucking shit your ass. And he's just like, you know, Viola, just every once in a while, I just take a little stab, see if something can be normal, but. I just don't think it can.
I've grown accustomed to your face. Which is the most backhanded compliment love song that has ever existed. I've grown accustomed to your face. If any man tells you that, ladies, you have to leave him.
Yeah. I've grown very fond of you over the years.
Yep. Well, I realize
you're a handsome woman and you're steady.
So Viola, she goes out to Michigan. She shows up to find Henry and Stella in a local bar celebrating the engagement.
And also assuming that like that Henry Lee Lucas, she thought that Henry Lucas would be able to come and take care of her.
Yeah.
Which is insane.
It's crazy because these are real people. She got on, I would assume, a train or a bus.
Yeah.
Can you imagine the poor saps who have to sit next to Viola?
While she's talking around midnight, I'll suck your dick.
My ex-husband got his legs cut off by one of these.
I just was hoping I could listen to some podcast. I mean, I'm on a bus, you know. It's just one of those things. It's lovely to meet you, but...
Have you ever heard of This American Life? There's a new episode, and I've got a hardcore history queued up right after that. So I
you know, sometimes I'd eat a lump of shit because they give me 4 cents to do it. Just show my I'm freak.
WTF had Barack Obama on this week.
Isn't that impressive? Really the medium, but you know, that's we can get into a whole conversation about
I'm
that.
Going to the back seat. That's the bathroom. Yeah. I'm gonna sit on it for a while.
Yeah. I like to see if something comes. Sometimes it's fun to be on a bus toilet because the water comes up and smashes my pussy, and that's the only bath I fucking need.
You know that's not water. That's everyone's...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. A little fecal matter there.
So, you know, Viola walks into the bar. She finds Henry happily celebrating his newfound love and immediately starts laying into him. Immediately starts a fight saying, you can't marry her. You can't do this. You got to come back with me and you got to take care of me, you ungrateful little motherfucker.
Right.
And so Stella tries to step in and Viola... violently attacks her. And Stella says, holy shit, this is your mother. I can't deal with this. I'm out. Engagement's off. Yeah. See you later.
It's like all those mother-in-law jokes.
It is. I've heard that. It's also the love relationship of the water boy. Adam Sandler's character there in the movie The Waterboy. Go back and watch that.
Yeah.
It's a girlfriend that mama don't like.
Oh, yeah.
Mama break up the relationship.
So Henry Lee Lucas, it's technically the water boy story, but it replaced being a water boy with all the rape and the corpses.
Yeah. Gatorade is better. I'm raping murder. No, okay. No.
That was probably Adam Sandler's first draft.
Yeah.
So later on that night, Henry, possibly remembering the beloved mule that his mother had also taken away from him years before.
God, it's just the saddest thing.
I know, this one really, is it wrong, because you just do such a good job of researching these people's lives, you do get some sympathy for this
poor, half-blind, dumb
piece of shit.
He just needed to, it's just the same thing, it's kind of like Dahmer, I feel sympathy for Dahmer too, but it's just, not he kind of just needed to get shot in the head. Like, he kind of just needed to have been murdered in some sort of jail problem or in a bar bar fight or like something like that, just to have ended his life.
It seems like everyone was trying to kill him.
Yeah.
Random rulers going into his eye, very easily could have gone into his brain. Yeah. His brother stabbing him his eye out.
Yeah. No, he is as steady as the turkey. And as well, because, you know, they say that
he should be the state bird.
Yes, exactly. That's what Benjamin Franklin wanted to be, the national bird, because of its steadfastness and stamina.
Henry Lee Lucas, the turkey of all serial killers.
So they're in this knockdown, drag-out fight. Henry's got a pocket knife in his hand, which he thought had been closed, and he punched his mother. Cool. And he goes, he punches her, and she passes out. He thinks that he's just punched her, and he runs away. But this is how strong her hold on him was, is that he actually, where he went 300 miles away back to his mother's cabin.
But when he ran away,
insane. He's just insane. Like, he ran away, and he's like, okay, I'm going to sit here and wait for my punishment.
But, like, zigzag. He's like, I'm out of here. Be like, 5 minutes goes by. You're like, still not at the door yet, huh? Okay.
No, it's to your left.
I'll open the door for you. Just okay.
But what he actually did, unbeknownst to him, he nicked his mother. He nicked her neck. Not that deep, but deep enough where his sister, Opal, that he was living with, his sister didn't come home for another 14 hours. So Viola ended her life bleeding out on the floor after her son accidentally nicked her in the neck with a pocket knife.
Hey, all right.
Dust and so,
in the wind. All yard is dust in the wind. But also, people know a lot of songs were based off of the death of Viola Lucas. Is also Candle in the Wind.
Oh, yes.
Well, yes, it was turned into a Princess Di song, but Elton John actually wrote it about the 50 Cent toothless hooker.
So it was a lie, the Marilyn Monroe reference as well.
Then. All bullshit.
Oh, isn't that something?
So he ran back home. He sat there expecting her to show up. When she didn't show up for a couple days, he went back to Michigan and was picked up almost immediately and was charged with second-degree murder. He got sentenced to 20 to 40 years in the state penitentiary. Mm-hmm. And when he's in there, he starts going a little... I think this is the first time he realizes that he can gain attention. Like, he can fuck himself up or say crazy weird shit, and it gets him attention. So he has a couple of suicide attempts, and he gets transferred to Ionia State Hospital, Ionia State Mental Hospital, and they just start shocking his brain.
Which, again, when you already have goon brain, that's not making you feel more like together.
Yeah.
Also, what I find interesting is now we're going to see the Robert DeSalvo side of him come through, where he kind of, it's like, that's what also to me makes him quintessentially such an American figure. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like Charles Manson, that thing of like, he still thinks he can make it in this world. He still thinks that it's like, no matter what's happening.
He's got stick-to-itiveness.
That now once he's figured out a tactic, he's just like, I can use this for all it's worth. Like, it's kind of amazing. It's going to follow through with the rest of his life. He's going to murder a lot. He's going to do a lot.
His pilot was actually the one that got turned down. They chose Mary Tyler Moore's pilot. But he was going to go and have a great job, a great television show about him succeeding in Minnesota.
That would have been amazing.
Yeah. That would have been real good.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is also when he starts getting all fucked up on psychotropic drugs like Thorazine and Benadryl. He said that he took a shit ton of Benadryl. But some people it has an extremely adverse effect on, and they're just pumping him full of all of these chemicals. They're fucking shocking him on a daily basis.
But at the same time, he gets to putter around.
Yeah. He gets to putter around that. And this is also something that happens after he gets caught later on and starts confessing, is that he just is allowed to wander around wherever he likes. He had to have been somewhat of a charmer because people liked him.
Because he just kind of had that one-eyed sort of weird little, like, he had like a half smile.
Yeah.
And he could probably, you forget, because after a while he's kind of got like a, he's got that sort of like country drone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would maybe a charm, but I think also a sympathy case.
Yeah.
You know, people were just like, I think at this point it might be a hate crime to hit him. Like, he's like so disabled that you're just kind of like, I gotta be nice to him because otherwise I'm a dickhead.
Well, Henry Lee Lucas, and he did have some intelligence to him, because what he did when he was at the state hospital, exactly like Ed Kemper, they'd leave him alone in the records room, so he would read all of these police records about all these criminally insane guys. He would read all their records and see how they got caught, and this is where he got his fucking inspiration, is that he knew that police departments don't talk to each other, especially back then in the 70s and 80s. He said that police departments did not talk to each other. Right. So when he would commit a crime, he'd just hop over to the next state.
Yep. You could literally put him anywhere else. Like, put him in a science lab and he would learn nothing.
Absolutely,
But they're like, let's put him in the only room that has all the knowledge he needs to become the serial killer he wants to be.
Now, Lieutenant Thompson, all right, now this file is called How to Be a Drifter Killer.
Okay.
I do not want you to leave it outside on a desk. I don't want you to leave it anywhere inside of a file cabinet. Technically, this shouldn't exist. But we're going to keep it just in case. No, I'm going to go outside and get a bagel because I'm a Jewish police officer.
Right, I will be gone.
You sit here with this file and don't do anything with it, especially if a one-eyed guy with all of the potential in the world to be a drifter killer walks in here, all right?
All right, I got it.
You got it? Mm-hmm. You're not wearing pants today, Private.
Yeah, that's all right. I haven't been wearing them the past couple of days.
All right, well.
Yep.
L'chaim.
It's leggy summer. Hey, Henry, come on in here. I got something for you to read.
I can't read. You got to read it to me.
All right. Sit down. I'm about to tell you how your life is going to change forever.
So he got out. He actually got out after only 10 years. Or actually, it was more like 8 or 9. Yeah. He, for killing his mother, he got out due to overcrowding. Yeah. And
So who was in? I at this point, right, so the criminal record at this point is just a couple of robberies and this, I guess, accidental death.
That you could actually, and he was doing his all of his psychiatrists, they were, you know, saying that, yes, he has a lot of problems. One of his psychiatrists called him excessively needy.
So he was being a real ex-girlfriend?
Good joke. Yeah, and so they, a lot of them were like, yeah, this guy's real fucked up, but yeah, he could be out. You can let this guy out. So, he's fine.
And then he begged to not be let out.
Yeah, he said, if you let me out, I will kill. Right. I will kill
so
someone.
So basically what we're watching is, again, it's our institutions themselves created our perfect killers. Like, we see again and again and again. We made Charles Manson. We made fucking Osama bin Laden.
Yeah.
We made, like, all these people.
Jeffrey Dahmer.
We made all these people and just shipped them out.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you can't just let everybody stay in prison who wants to stay in prison. At that point, it was a real club med.
That's the opposite.
For Mr. Henry.
I would be like, always keep the ones in prison that beg to stay in prison.
I know. That's
just keep them in there.
Yeah. If they want to stay there, then there's a very good reason why they want to stay there.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Henry Lee Lucas, this is another one of his big claims. He claims to have killed two women the day he was released from prison.
Well, he said a lot of shit always.
He said a lot of shit, and we're going to be getting into the next 13 years of his life in the next episode. We're going to bring in Otis Toole, his partner in crime, and
I would say these guys were the bushwhackers of serial killers.
The WWE tag team champions.
The Legion of Doom?
The Legion of Doom.
The Terror Twins.
Absolutely.
The Bash Brothers.
He's a regular Mark McGuire, this guy.
They're always sucking each other's dick and killing women for Satan.
Different kind of Bash Brothers, but maybe a more...
not an attractive couple.
Although I am going to post a picture on the Facebook page of these two guys in happier times.
Yeah, it's just them smiling and holding each other.
It's them smiling and, you know, fucking Henry's eyes kind of going off to the right. And he's got a well-groomed mustache. And they look like a couple of buddies, you know.
They are
like
friends.
They look like they were, you know, in the 1970s, like quote-unquote roommates.
Yeah,
but they were boinking.
They were. Yeah, they were. They were both.
Boinking sounds cute. To me, it's more like plundering.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it was a weird combo, the two of them. And when I look at them, the smell I think of is pubic hair and cigarettes.
Oh, totally. It's really, but really cigarettes bad gin.
Made of pubic hair.
Well, it's the idea of, like, you've been smoking naked, and you've been leaving the cigarette, like, when you're not smoking it, you rest it in your pubic hair.
Just
and
ashy
it just gives
on
it that fucking stink. Like, the tip of your dick smells like fucking your sweat and also cigarette smoke.
Oh, yeah, man. I've been to a bar in Florida.
Yeah, that smells like. And that's just two guys just loving that smell. Loving that smell so much that they're willing to choke down on that cock until it comes down their throats.
It's a bunch of... A lot of orange, sort of an orangey kind of feel there.
A rusted man.
All right. What a great intro to Henry Lee Lucas. We've got a good foundation of his early life.
Yeah, we're going to, next episode, we're going to get into his mildly retarded child bride. We're going to get into
his... Does anyone else just want to spray Febreze?
Yeah.
That's kind of how I feel now.
This is definitely a heavy hitter because I feel disgusting.
Yeah.
That's a good sign.
Now, Friday, when I was researching all this, like, it was just a weird day.
They're dirty.
The whole day. It was. Yeah. I felt just weird and dirty and off the whole fucking day. It was weird, but we got through it, and we're going to get into... How to be a drifter.
So
next
I hope
week.
Just someone's getting married tonight.
I hope
so. You're listening to this.
Happy marriage. I hope you have a wonderful time. And remember, when you're driving through Virginia and you're like, look at these people, this is the cleanest they've ever been. You know, so just imagine what the what the 1930s, 40s, 50s, and 60s were for a lot of those country people.
Can I plug something before we end? This is me saying, of course, hello. Thank you, as always, for listening. Your Pretty Face is Going to Hell Season 2 comes out this Sunday at 12:15, July 12th on Adult Swim. If you can watch this show, it would mean a lot to me. This is just as important to me as last podcast. It's a favorite thing I've ever been paid to do. Unfortunately, we're not really at the money making stage of last podcast yet. But it's like a point where it's like, please watch it. We put a lot of work into it, and I think it's really fucking funny.
12:15 p.m. this next Sunday here.
Yes, July 12th.
July 12th.
Inhale Satan.
Adult Swim.
Hail Sweet Satan.
I can't wait. I'm very excited. I'm gonna watch that episode as well. Let's say, do we want to say anything?
Absolutely. Yeah. Unfortunately, we lost one of our biggest fans this week. And if anybody out there, you know, is feeling real fucking bad, and if you're thinking about suicide or anything like that, please tell somebody. Please get a hold of somebody. There are a lot of suicide hotlines online that you can check out. And everyone in the group is fantastic. And Cooper was a real fucking cool dude. And... he's the type of people we do this shit for.
Yeah.
That's right. He was a good man.
And it's absolutely, I'm just going to say straight up, say suicide is totally horseshit. And you should reach out. Nothing. Right. Where there's life, there's hope. Just keep moving forward. You can change things for yourself. Cooper had already tried to do that several times, and I know that it was a difficult road for him. But when it comes down to it, choose to be alive always. It's so much worth it. And, you know, because...
Yeah. We don't have that long on this earth anyway.
No.
So
Satan hates a suicide.
That's also a name of a great metal band. Satan hates a suicide.
All right.
We're like a metal band.
For fucking him. Stay alive for Satan, because our jobs are to deliver truth to everyone.
All right. Yes, we love you guys very, very much. Hail yourselves, everyone.
Yeah, and thank you, everyone on the page is being fucking fantastic about all this stuff. So please keep being awesome to each other. Please keep being there for each other. Heil Gein, everyone.
Heil me as well. I don't mean to, I'm sorry about the plug before we got serious.
It's a good plug.
But I did it before we got serious. Yes. I feel it'd be bad if I did it now.
If you did it now, it would be weird. It's like, yes, you know, hail our friend Cooper Borg, who unfortunately took his life.
July 12th.
July 12th.
Right.
Be sure to go buy the Counting album.
Yeah, and thanks for all the support here on CCR. We love
As always, you guys are the absolute best. And
congratulations.
We love you, and by we love you, we mean we fucking hate you. You're dumb.
Oh, you're doing one of those.
Yeah.
Makes me want you more.
Also, for those of you that are going to be in San Diego for the San Diego Comic-Con, I'm going to be there all up, balls deep into fucking Comic-Con. I'm doing the Aqua Teen, Your Pretty Face is Going to Hell panel on Friday afternoon, and I'll be doing the Heroes panel on Sunday afternoon in Hall G, whatever that big fucking thing is. But this is my fucking call to action. If I see you, listen to me, if I see anybody wearing a Last Podcast and Left shirt, I'm going to give you a dollar.
You're going to give them a dollar. You're paying for fans. fanship. I am by $1. Fanship. You're almost worse than Henry Lee Lucas's whore of a mother.
I'm just saying this. I will give you $1. You come up to me, you find me personally, you give me $1, and I will tell you this. I will leave no stone unturned when I have the fucking microphone to deliver the truth about the nature of our fucking reality and our government and about the elite bloodlines that are a part of the ruling bodies of the entire world. So I need your support. I need you to be there because what is not the spear of truth without the fucking shaft?
So basically, whoever wears a Last Podcast shirt and then sees you perform will slowly take off their Last Podcast shirt and pretend like they don't know you.
Yes.
Okay, that's perfect.
I'll give you a fucking dollar. That's not even a joke. You better fucking wear them shirts.
Yes, wear the shirts.
Yes, please. For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to cavecomedyradio.com.